Welcome to Career Tools, the career management file. This cast answers these questions. What other documents do I need for my job search? Where do I get the information I need to be prepared to do my job search? And how can I be prepared generally for changing jobs? Folks, we'd really love to see you at our M conference, October 9th and 10th of this year in Dallas. It's a first time event for us. It won't be us at Manager Tools on the stage very much. We've asked 10 senior executives from the Manager Tools community to come and talk about the next phase of your career, what it takes to get ahead. As the book says, what got you here won't get you there. And in addition to learning, a key part of the event will be building your network with other attendees, with us, and with the presenters. It's a very unique event, a little bit like a TED Talk, but based around management, and we think you'll like it. Come see us. So, Wendy, career searches are like a lot of other things in life. It starts with preparation, and everybody knows about resume, but we're amazed how often people's resume are not ready when they say they're searching. And what we've discovered is there's actually even more to it than resume. If the only thing you're thinking about preparing is your resume, not only are you late, you're probably insufficient in terms of what you need. So we want to lay out some recommendations about stuff you need to have, copies of it and so on, so that you can not only build your resume, but have the information at your fingertips you need to fill out all the forms you probably have to fill out.
Right. Especially people that are looking for a job while they have a job, right? Because there's never enough time. And being organized, so spending a couple of hours to get everything together means it's possible for you to make an application or send your resume or send the information that a company is asking for in a couple of minutes. And if that's, you know, before dinner or whatever, it makes it easier. So we're going to talk about creating additional information sheets, saving template paragraphs, and gathering official documents.
Good. Okay. What do you mean by additional information sheets?
So there's kind of two documents. There's two kinds of documents that we're going to talk about. The ones that you're going to create from the information that you have, and like the official documents such as certificates or identification documents, those kind of things. So the first thing we're going to do is create an additional information sheet. And it comes out of a situation that you find yourself in when you're looking for a job all the time, which is being asked for the same information over and over again. Things like your job history and your references and your addresses for the last 10 years. And so what we're going to do is we're going to gather that information up. We're going to put it in one place and we're going to put it on a printable document. Doesn't matter really what kind of document it is, but only that it's printable and it's available for you. So you can just have one source to go for all that information that you will be asked for 50 times.
Okay.
And a lot of the time people have that information. Obviously they know what their passport number is. They know where they lived, all that kind of stuff. But it's often spread out. You know, you may have your old addresses on bills that are in a file.
Yeah, I know they're here somewhere. And then the one time I need them, I have six of the seven. I'm making this up. Yeah. And you know it's here somewhere. But now you have 2 or 3 hours of work. And if it takes two, once you go past about 90 minutes, you now start getting a little bit panicky, like, gee, I don't remember. I don't know. And that's just not a good way to start. And you don't want to not have that information and feel like you're at a disadvantage. I mean, look, if you don't have one address, it's probably not the end of the world. On the other hand, if you're applying for a job with any kind of security clearance, with any sort of government connection, even I suspect teachers nowadays, at least in the U.S., you're going to have all this stuff. And not having stuff as you get started just sort of puts you on the back foot to begin with.
Yeah. if you ask for the address and it's, you know, it's like an evening before, you know, because you're still working and you can't find it in 30 minutes and you promised someone you'd send it in an hour, you start to bump up against your own deadlines. And sometimes we remember part of it, but not everything. So, for instance, I can probably look up several of the apartment complexes that I've lived in because they have websites with the address on, but I don't necessarily remember the apartment number that I was in. Or you might remember the address, but not the zip code. So what we want to do is just take some time in a non-pressured situation when there isn't a deadline to gather the information, update it, have it ready. And so it's an investment in time in your search. It'll take, I don't know, 30 minutes, maybe 3 hours. It depends how organized you are now, but it will save you time in the future.
It's a Saturday morning, not sleeping in. It's a Sunday morning, not sleeping in. Maybe your spouse and kids sleep in, and you rummage around in your office and in old documents and so on. You have the list we're going to share with you. And you just type it all up and you put it in a file in your home computer. And you print it out. I mean, this is not rocket science, but you don't want to, if somebody says to you, hey, at our company, we need a resume. We also need this application filled out. It doesn't look good. You may think it's okay to say, God, I'm sorry, dude. There's two or three things about my addresses 5 years ago. I just don't remember them. Now your buddy is going to say, no, that's okay. Cause that happens, but it's just one of those things that is a slight chink in your armor that's not worth having if you had dotted your I's and crossed your T's in preparation. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the information is different from that which is on your resume. So, for example, on your resume, you might have a job history with a company name, like the dates and then project manager, Microsoft. But when you ask for the details, for instance, to verify your work history, you might be asked for more detail, like what was the office that you worked in, like the address of the office, your supervisor, the number of HR, so that the person can call for a reference for you. So it's kind of more detail. So we've got a list of items that you might want to include. And if you have a license and the show notes, you can print this out and use it as a checklist. And if you don't, then you'll have to write them down. So I'll try and go slowly. So I'd spend the $200 on a license so I could print it out, but that's just me. So job history with job title, company name, and if it's changed, the name of what it was when you worked there, company address and phone number, the exact dates, so like with the day, salary, manager's name, and referees. Then your education history with exact dates, the courses you took. So if you did a degree course with a bunch of sub-courses within it, then you want the list of the subcourses, your grades, the name, address, and phone number of the institution. And, you know, if you've been in the workforce for 20 years, nobody's ever going to ask you for the subcourses of your degree, but it's still useful to have these. Once you've done it once and it's on the document, like that thing will never change. So your address history with exact dates of when you moved in and out, your passport, driver's license, or other identity document numbers. If you have a work permit, the work permit number, social security card number, and other government ID numbers for taxes. Specific certification, license, or clearance numbers. For example, lawyers have a registration number for the state they're licensed to practice in.
Engineers do too.
A bunch of people. And then benefit numbers such as your health insurance number or your pensions number, where the company, the customer service phone number, the reference number for your account, and then your bank details, because eventually you'll want someone to pay your salary. So your bank details might be at the end, but they're very important.
Amazing. I mean, I actually thought about a couple of these things you were going through, and I thought, okay, I don't have those at my fingertips. I know my passport number, but yeah, this is going to take 2 or 3 hours, and you can either pay me now or you can pay me later. And if you pay me now, it's cheaper because you're going to put it all together. You're going to have one document and you're not going to have to worry. And when somebody says, hey, we got a bunch of stuff you got to fill out, it's like, no problem. And that puts you at an advantage. If you believe in the, the spiritual energy that connects all of us. It puts you at an advantage because you feel good that you were ready enough to fill out your documents and everything they needed. And the person you're competing against for the job scrambled around and got panicky and probably left something blank. And I mean, maybe they're actually, if you'll pardon the pun, on paper, better than you for the job, but you'll probably interview better than they will. Because you're not worried about stupid stuff because you took care of it in advance.
And part of the interview, part of any job is convincing the hiring manager that you're organized, you know where things are, and you keep track of things. So this is a good way to demonstrate that.
Let me suggest one other thing. You know, the application process, the hiring process at many companies has gotten more efficient, more online, but it's also because it's gotten more online. I suspect in some ways it's gotten more invasive and companies are being more careful to avoid bad hires. So maybe you've been through this process and we just went through our list and you were asked for a couple of things that weren't on our list. Send us an email at customerservice@manager-tools.com. We'll collect all those and we'll do an addendum to this cast. Why don't we crowdsource this a little bit? Because, I mean, this list is fairly comprehensive, but I know somebody's been through a process where they said, and I'm not talking about from some disreputable company, but some reputable company asked for some stuff that you just want to roll your eyes about. Like, well, okay, HR is going too far there. That's not going to be germane to the hiring decision or whatever. And in some case, guys, the stuff they ask for is not germane to the hiring decision. They're just front-loading administrative procedures. Now, I happen not to agree with that. I think that's a mistake. That's your process being out of order, temporally speaking. But regardless, if you've been through it, let us know what they asked for that wasn't on the list, and we'll make sure that we put out an addendum. And maybe it'll just be a 5-minute cast thrown into the feed so that everybody can hear it. And they can go collect that silly document that nobody should probably be asking for. But if they do, you're on the hook for it.
Right. I just thought of social media profiles. I keep seeing people are being asked for. I have no idea what the URL to my Facebook profile is. And nobody could find it because I have it locked down. So I would have to give them the URL and I don't know what it is. So I could add that to the list. So the next part is saving template paragraphs.
Oh, this is so good. You know, I never did this. And partly because back in my day, a lot of the applications I did were in pen. And, you know, it's not easy to take pictures. It wasn't easy to take pictures of them. And I could have copied them. But to me, this is genius. And it's frustrating to say, sit down at your home desk at 8 o'clock at night or at the kitchen table and to realize that you have to create the same thing over again and you wish you had it because, gosh, it took you an hour the first time. And maybe it'll only take you 45 minutes this time, but it sure be better if it takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, wouldn't it? So what we want you to do is get another document, Word document, a Google Sheets document, doesn't matter. And every time you make an application, you have a conversation with someone, you send an email with your resume, you create a cover letter, you'll find that you use the same descriptions, the same sentences, the same paragraphs, the same answers over and over. And to a certain extent, you'll be tailoring this stuff. But even if you use a paragraph you've used before and then tweak it, it's still faster than starting over. So every time you create any sort of written content that goes with your search, we want you to copy the text into this document. So you'll end up with a document with a bunch of paragraphs you used in your cover letter. And maybe your cover letter only has 3 paragraphs, but you have 8 paragraphs because they're slightly tweaked for different roles. The next time you want to create a cover letter, you have those 6 paragraphs. You can pick the 3 that you want to use. You may tweak them a little bit, but like I say, it's way faster to do that than it is to start over each time.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to this, but when I think of cover letters, I think of it as sort of the start of the hiring process. And the ending of the hiring process is thank you notes. You could do the same thing with thank you note template paragraphs, right? I mean, how creative do you need to be in a thank you note? We have a podcast, folks, called, I think it's called How to Write a Thank You Note. It's not that hard, but it's a little easier if you have to write five of them, if you can have some reminders of thoughts or turns of phrases that were helpful to you. I'd have those in there as well.
Yeah. And the other podcast that we have that you might want to listen to is the Career Management Document, which is basically this, it's the same concept, but for your resume, it's every accomplishment that you ever had written in the way that you can just copy and paste it onto your resume. And your resume is a selection of those accomplishments from your career management document. And so this is the same concept, but for everything but your resume, really. And there's the obvious resumes, which I just said, cover letters, application paragraphs, which are sort of obvious, but there's a variety of other pieces of text that you might be using again and again, depending on the role you're looking for and the sector. So for example, government jobs, they're often asked for competency statements where the application or the form that you're filling in will have a competency like managing others.
And you've got to create a paragraph that describes your experience in a particular area.
In 200 words or 300 words.
Yeah.
So it's not just that you have to describe it. It's you have to fit that into the length that you're given. And that takes some finessing usually. So if you're going to have to do it more than once, then do your finessing once and then copy it next time.
And nonprofits often ask for a paragraph. They're looking to do, this is an advanced screening technique, and I actually like this one, and it also gets to check your writing skills, which, interestingly enough, thanks to the web, writing skills are more important because we write more than we used to. You have to write a paragraph about how you connect to the nonprofit's mission. Well, if you're thinking about going to the nonprofit world, and there are five different charities that you're thinking about, and maybe they all have different missions, they probably don't. You may have narrowed it down and say, I want to be in healthcare, or I want to be in treatment for the wounded, or whatever the case might be. You may have narrowed, but even if you haven't, the themes and the tone and a lot of the words will be the same. And if you're going to have to write it down, it's so easy today to keep a copy of it. Same thing, internships or a job in college that you actually get paid for, but it's a little bit more, or it clearly is a almost like pre-kindergarten opportunity for a better career. A paragraph about why a particular job or industry or company or career applies to you. Why wouldn't you do that? Just to see if the person who's being considered is an effective writer and if they can sound truthful and persuasive.
It reminds me of the that you have here that we didn't have when I went to university, the college application process where you have to write an essay about why you want to go.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's that kind of thing about, you know, this is why I want to be wherever you are.
And leave it to stupid people to ruin the system by saying, now there's an industry of people who will write your letter for you. And the best ones guarantee that no one else will ever have written this letter or this essay. And then, by the way, that's in a larger industry of people, largely very, very wealthy people, many of them famous, who arrange to bribe certain colleges to get their kid in by faking the fact that they're a national class athlete. And then we discover there are even better ways. Like if you're wealthy enough that you're not going to get any financial aid and you want to be able to put your snout in the trough as well, well, then all you have to do is allow your kid to have a legal guardian of someone else but you. So when he or she applies to college, they don't have to state your income. I just thought that was a funny aside. Luckily for us, our audience is ethical and professional. If you're not ethical and professional, you won't last very long at Manager Tools and Career Tools, guys. Yeah, unfortunately, the college application process has become a circus in the U.S. With corruption and efforts. The idea that what elementary school your kid goes to determines the entire arc of his life, and so you should cheat in order to get them in. And I don't think people realize that now cheating is in the arc of your child's life.
And this is another thing, if people want to send us a note about what thing they were asked to do that they had to repeatedly write,
absolutely,
send it to us and we'll add to that.
And we'll also mention, in legal circles, you're going to have to send a writing sample.
Right.
Now, for most lawyers I know that have done that, they take a sample of a brief they've written. Mm-hmm. That's easy. But you might as well have it with you rather than having to retype it every time.
Yes. Or find it every time, right? If it's on
I've got to go find that system.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you're not in any of those situations where you have to write extra things, just having the paragraph that you use when you send your resume over to a contact so that you can do a quick copy-paste edit will help. And thank you, God, you already said. So there's two caveats here. Be very careful when you are copying and pasting, because I have seen so many letters and emails from people that say, I'm very interested in working in company X.
And it went to company
X. We went to company X, right.
I can tell you, for in the U.S., and I suspect this will resonate for someplace in Europe, when I was a recruiter, this is many, many years ago, we had a very good candidate who was being pursued for sales jobs at two large pharma companies, Baxter and Abbott. And he sent his Baxter note to Abbott and his Abbott note to Baxter. And to his, luckily, great guy and good recruiters, and they both laughed about it. And it was okay. But he had basically killed the process in terms of them wanting him. And so they laughed it off. But if you were middle of the pack, that would be the kiss of death.
Yeah, nightmare. And the other thing is, this is not a license not to tailor your resume and communication to the job or your company. So tailoring your resume, tailoring the cover letter to what this particular company have said they wanted will get you more interviews and more offers. So this is just a way to jumpstart a specific application. You will need to do the tailoring piece.
In talking to people in the field in the last 10, 15 years, Wendy, I think the tailoring the resume thing, there are people who misunderstand it. First of all, they don't have a career management file with all of the material, all the raw material in there. That's what this cast is about. They also then don't have a career management document, which is maybe a 5 to 7 to 9 page document of almost everything that happened to you over the course of your career. Every accomplishment bullet, long responsibility paragraphs for each of the jobs you've had. And tailoring to us means simply taking away those things that aren't perfectly relevant or most relevant to a job you're interviewing for. In other words, you're not starting over with a new resume for every different type of job. I remember when I was interviewing, somebody asked me, what do you want to do when you get out of the military? I said, look, I did good academically and technical stuff. I'm an engineer and I'm good leading people. I should probably be on a manufacturing production floor. And I didn't know. And luckily, a couple people said, you know, you ought to consider sales. I kind of rolled my eyes and said, well, why wouldn't I? Now's the time, recognizing that this is a pretty big fork in the road for me. I didn't know that many people who started in sales and went in manufacturing and vice versa. So I said, sure. But in early on in my career, I kept track of all the things I was doing. The document gets really long. If I had gone back at that moment and had to create two separate resumes from scratch, not knowing how resumes were done, I would have been a wreck. So you capture everything. And by the way, one of the ways you handle the career management document is every 90 days, you schedule a half an hour. You can actually do it at work, but you can also do it at home at the kitchen table. Every 90 days, you sit down and you go over what's happened to you in the previous 90 days, and you capture accomplishments and maybe update the responsibilities of your current job, and you do that throughout your career, and then you're never having to go back 9 months later and try to recreate a bullet or a responsibility, or 2 or 3 years in order to have the best resume possible. Again, the career management document is very long, and the way you tailor things is you take out the stuff, or let's put it differently, you leave in the best stuff. You're looking for the best stuff. In fact, what I would do is just use a highlighter. And I had a very long document, and I would just highlight the things that I wanted to keep in. I would then, in the beginning of my career, I would type it, which is a very delicate operation when you're worried you don't want to use, whiteout and so on. But then with a computer, I would then print it out, and I would compare the highlighted version to the actual version to make sure that the same bullets have been transported. And there were several times where I miscopied the bullet below versus the bullet above because of how I clicked and dragged and so on. All of this stuff, the career management file, the career management document, all leads to less work, more certainty, less chance of error in your resume. And more broadly, in the entire administrivia associated with an application process. You want to be prepared, pretty simply.
If you do all of this stuff once up front, you have more time to do the tailoring piece. You have time to, if you have half an hour to do an application or send an email, you have the whole half an hour and not 3 minutes because it took you 27 minutes to find the information.
Exactly.
Why is McDonald's so successful? It solves a problem. It's fast, it's cheap, and it keeps your kids happy. The management and career equivalent is a Manager Tools personal license. You'll get a written version of all of the podcasts in the free feeds. They're detailed white papers of all the guidance in the podcast, and using them gets you to the solution for your problem faster for just $200 a year. The only thing we can't guarantee is that it will keep your kids happy. To find out more and to see an example, go to manager-tools.com and type #license in the search bar. So the last part of this is gather official documents. And when you're applying for jobs, employers may want to see the official version of all sorts of documents. And when they're planning to offer you a job, you definitely need some of these documents. And gathering them up again will make your job search more effective, and it allows you to move more quickly when a potential employer shows interest. And some of these documents we talked about on the list of numbers and other things, so you'll need to find these anyway. And some are obvious and some are less so. So we'll go slow.
Let me ask you something. Are we just gathering them? I mean, we can't just gather our driving license because we need the driving license in our billfold. So,
mm-hmm. I would scan it and have the scan copy in the folder. I think that's what we should replace gather with.
Yeah, scan. Okay, but let me ask you. I mean, what I've done, and I don't, you know, there are people all the time that say to me, "Oh, you know, I don't want to take notes manually in a meeting. I don't want to take notes longhand because I keep copies of all my digital notes." I mean, this has been largely debunked as stupidity and laptops and meetings and so on. But regardless, I say to them, well, if you need a version of your notes in your digital file, just take a picture of it on your phone and then you have it. Could we not just take pictures of all this stuff?
Yeah, you can take a picture. I find when I'm trying to take a picture of these things, I get shadow on it because I'm just not very good. So I prefer to scan it. But absolutely, you could take a picture and...
Are you going to a FedEx office and scanning?
My printer has a scanner on it.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, good. I, you know what? My printer does too, but I just now realize I've never used it. So there you go. Okay, yeah, scanning. That makes sense.
Yeah, but you could also do it at FedEx or a library or...
Yeah, I just take a picture with my phone.
Yeah.
Okay, list.
Yes, here we go to the list. So identification such as your passport, your driving license, your ID card, your birth certificate, any other identification.
And folks, if you don't know, at least in the States, for a birth certificate, the times you're asked for it, a copy won't do. You have to have a stamped, embossed birth certificate from the place you were born. Not kidding.
And since that's not something you need to carry around, you can put it in a folder and have it in one place as part of your job search.
But let me just say, if you can't find yours now very easily, request another one. And I will tell you something else. This is one of the beauties of the web, is that used to be you had to write a letter. And you had to find out, you had to make phone calls to find out what the address was of where the letter should go. I'm showing my age in this cast. It's not cool at all.
Well, me too. Proof of legal presence in the country or a work permit if you need those things. Social Security card or other government ID for taxes. Proof of the specific certification, license, or clearance. So if you've got, we said earlier about lawyers need their license number, they also get a certificate.
Engineers, doctors, dentists, all that stuff.
All those people. Transcripts or certificates as proof of education. And that's another thing you can probably get if you don't have it anymore, but it'll take a little while. So do it now. Proof of address, bank statement, or utility bills, which is another thing that is commonly asked for, but is much more difficult now because we don't get bills at our house. We get emails that say, hey, your bill is there. So you may need to request something specific from your bank so that they send you a printed copy of your statement so you have proof of address. So think about that. Proof of your salary history, pay stubs, bank statements, tax returns, those kind of things. Proof of credit history for some roles, particularly security roles or roles in finance. You need to be able to prove that you have a good credit rating or you're controlling your money so that you can't be bribed. Current benefit details, such as the insurance company information. Again, we said that earlier, but you might want to have a letter or, you know, the certificate for, you know, the thing that you can print out as proof of insurance, those kind of things. Your health information. Again, you might want to print out something or have the document from your health insurance. And then finally, bank details so that you can be paid. Again, you might want to have an actual copy.
Exactly. Not, you don't just want the details. You want a record of the details. You don't want to write the details down somewhere else. You want something that appears official that says you have a relationship with this bank and here's the account number. You could always just take a picture or scan a check, but a bank statement would be smart.
And often they need the routing number, and you might know your account number, and your account number might appear on the screen, but the routing number doesn't.
Yeah, and that's on the check.
Yeah. And some of these might seem intrusive, like why should the company need to know your credit history or your health information? And in most of the cases that we know, where they're required, they're not about you specifically. They're not about this candidate. But some companies have been burned by candidates who turned out not to be who they said they were or didn't have the history they said they were or didn't have the credit history.
It's a guy before you
that
messed up the system. And every single time the system doesn't work perfectly, the person later in the system gets burdened with additional administrative details. It's stupid, but it exists. And if all that's standing between you and the dream job you want or a great job or a great opportunity is this stuff, let's not have this stuff get in the way. Some companies have found themselves in this situation, and they try to protect themselves. And if you want, you could say, well, I don't want to go through that. Then, you know, you could say no. Sometimes people are embarrassed by, say, their credit history. I wouldn't be, folks. I would just share your credit history. Either they're going to say no to you, in which case, I don't know that companies are smart enough these days to delete what they have, but it's not like anybody's going to use that against you. It's going to go somewhere in a dusty box and it won't be an issue. And probably when the company moves in a couple of years, that stuff will be destroyed. Now, right now, the market's pretty good. It was 2019. There aren't enough candidates, right, to go around. There are more openings, at least in the US, there are more job openings right now than there are people looking for jobs. So if you said no to what you considered an intrusive search, you'd probably find somebody else similar that doesn't have that level of intrusiveness. On the other hand, having all this stuff in front of you means you can get them to a hiring manager or recruiter at short notice. Believe me, that comes across as both organized, which from the standpoint of the administrative people involved in your hiring process, they love that because they dread the candidate who everybody in the company wants to hire, but can't find this, can't find that. That's okay. We'll hire you and we'll wait until you get it to us. And then 90 days later, you discover it's a fraud or so on. But it gives the impression you organize, which some people love. And then also energetic. You can be super organized and have all this stuff, but if you weren't excited about the job, you wouldn't have been able to put it together overnight because you wouldn't have wanted to. You just wouldn't have done it. So you want to be perceived as both those things. And the way to be perceived as both those things is to be both those things. And that means organized and enthusiastic. Because when it comes to a job search, it's not that you are that way. It's that you can demonstrate you are that way. In fact, we have a podcast where we tell hiring managers, if you need to say no to somebody, you're not saying no because they don't have a particular skill, because they might. But if the candidate didn't demonstrate it, our guidance is to say, hey, look, you didn't demonstrate this and this and this, which I really need. And when the candidate says, I have those things, you say, well, unfortunately, those are things that we're looking for that you didn't demonstrate. And we have a limited amount of time. So we've said no. Having all your stuff together allows you to demonstrate that you're organized and enthusiastic. And sometimes it's the opposite of a death of 1,000 cuts. You want to be the one that wins 1% of the time in 100 small things.
And one caveat before we finish is don't take too much time on the preparation. It can be easy to lose yourself in the organization and the perfection of both the information and the documents, you know, just making it just the right font and, you know, making sure everything's pretty. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, as you, Mark, often say. And it doesn't need to be perfect. Nobody else is necessarily going to see it.
Yeah.
So it just has to work for you.
And you could do a little of this every day while you're also talking to your friends and your network.
Exactly.
Looking into various jobs, various companies, and so on. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Do the actual applying, interviewing, and accepting offers over doing the preparation.
Or even better, do this preparation while you're gainfully employed now. Get it all together. Yeah. Start doing your career management document now on one particular Saturday or Sunday, or maybe you're off on a Friday. And your spouse and kids are visiting part of family somewhere, sit down and go through our career management document podcast and this podcast again and start building your little bank of raw material so that when it comes time, when for some reason you work for an idiot boss who takes your career decisions out of your hands and lays you off or fires you, or your division moves and you and your spouse don't want to move because your kids are in a great school, you are prepared. You know, we used to say this all the time, trust in God, but keep your powder dry.
Preparation, what is it? Fortune favors the prepared mind?
No.
That's not right.
Fortune favors the bold. Yes. This stuff isn't hard to do. It only becomes hard when you get panicked.
Yes.
So do it before. Be ready.
Yeah.
Good.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy. That's it, everybody. Come back next week on Career Tools. More good guidance to help you grow your skills and your influence. See you then.